morning, everyone. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, this morning. It's good to be gathered again in the house of the Lord. Special welcome to the visitors here. See some school teachers back. Welcome here. And it's hard to believe it's almost that time of the year already. I was blessed by the service already, the Sunday school discussion that we had. In talking to that fellow I mentioned in Sunday school class about, it was actually a Muslim religion that they were had a mission for. And one thing he mentioned that can be a challenge in some of those things is relating to people when there's a language barrier. But there's one language that everyone can understand, and that is the language of love. And I thought that was something that stood out to me. No matter where we are, people can understand when we express love, and that's one way we can reach the hearts of people. Appreciated this song that we just sang, that verse, yet to the true, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. The Christian life is not some kind of performance of strength or show of wisdom, but it's something we simply live out through faith and through God's grace. For a message this morning, I believe last Sunday, I was not here, Willard had a message on, was it about a fixed heart? And I had the opportunity to listen to that, was blessed by it. This morning is something similar, but a little different angle, and we're going to be talking about a prepared heart. I guess God wants us to speak on the heart lately here. So that's the direction my mind was drawn, and just a little history on the inspiration of how this message started. It was probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, I was reading through Chronicles in my personal devotions, and Chronicles is kind of a repeat. There's a cycle in the lives of the children of Israel and the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, and it goes from one king to the next. And this king did that which was right, and this king did that which was evil, and it was back and forth, up and down in this cycle. And then I came to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and in verse 14, it's talking about Rehoboam establishing his kingdom in Israel, and it says in verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And that phrase just stood out to me, and I did a little bit of research on that phrase. There's a couple other places that it uses that phrase, preparing a person's heart to seek the Lord. And that's the first point I'd like to talk about a little bit in the message. Another place was a few chapters later in I believe chapter 17, talks about Jehoshaphat's reign beginning in Judah. And it says that the Lord was with him because he walked in the ways of David his father. But then he made an alliance with the wicked king of Israel, Ahab. And Jehu the seer, or the prophet, came and challenged him. And in chapter 19, Jehu told him, questioned him and challenged him, should you have helped the ungodly and loved them that hate the Lord? And he said, the wrath of the Lord is upon thee. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Another place was Ezra, when he was granted permission from Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, to return to Jerusalem after the bondage there in Babylon. And God granted him, or made a way for him to go back to Jerusalem, and he made the journey to Jerusalem, and God was with him. It says in Ezra 7, verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgments. So if you look up some of these words, the word prepared and the word seek in the Hebrew translation, it was interesting. Some of the phrases that the word prepared means in the Hebrew text is to stand up and be or make yourself ready. Establish, fasten, be fixed, and be stable. That's something that is prepared. It's stand up and make yourself ready and establish and fasten and fix and have a focus and a vision. And the word seek would carry the thought of to follow in pursuit or to search, to worship, or in other words, diligently inquire, to ask or to search. Is your heart fixed or set on following God? Do you diligently inquire what God wants you to do? This is some questions I'd like to challenge us with this morning. Think of the songwriter's words, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Is that I trust that's our desire this morning. Have that longing to grow more like God wants us to be, into his holy likeness to grow. Is this your prayer and your desire? If your life was summarized like the kings of Judah and Israel, like Rehoboam and Jehoshaphat or Ezra, how would it read? Think about that. Would it say that this person or that person, you put your name in there, was someone who had a heart that was prepared to seek the Lord and did that which was right? Do we have prepared hearts? Thinking of preparations, we were at Leland and Kylie's wedding yesterday. And I wasn't there to help prepare, but if I know right, it probably had a couple weeks worth of a lot of preparing and even longer time in thinking about and preparing for that wedding. And in however many hours it was over. A lot of time spent preparing, and then in several hours the service was over. But the lifetime together was just the beginning. And I had to think, you know, every one of us got up to go to church this morning. You got up, you got out of bed, you got dressed, brush your teeth, wash your hair, comb your hair, whatever, and got prepared for worship. And you came to church, and in several hours the service is over. And we go on. How much more, if you think about that, how much more important is it to spend our whole life preparing for eternity? I can't fathom eternity. It's something that never ends. And that's my burden here this morning, is that we have prepared hearts. It's a bit of a topical message, so we're going to be jumping around from different scriptures. One point I'd like to think about a little bit is prepared for the Lord. Having a life that's prepared for the Lord, or a heart that's prepared for the Lord. We talked about preparing to seek the Lord, but just that phrase, prepared for the Lord, or spiritual preparation for God to work in our hearts. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, the angel of the Lord is talking to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and he's telling him what John the Baptist's calling is going to be. It's going to be to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And it says in verses 16 and 17, and many in Luke chapter 1, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Those phrases stood out to me. This preparing a people for the Lord involved turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. I like to think of that this morning as parents who are concerned about the spiritual well-being of their children. And we'll talk about more of that later on here. To make ready a people who are prepared for the Lord included causing those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. To be prepared for the Lord to work in our lives, we must have hearts that are open, hearts that are willing to change, hearts that have a desire to do what is right and to be a better person. That's what it takes to have a heart that's prepared for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can turn there if you want. Read a few verses here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and we'll start at verse 15. And we'll read all the way to verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 to 23. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. A bit of a nutshell of our Sunday school discussion. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. The phrase in this passage that I want to focus on or think about a little bit is in verse 21. It says, prepared unto every good work. To be prepared for the Lord to work in our lives, we must, in verse 21, purge out some things. Things that are impure. We need to purge them out. Get rid of them. Things that are impure. Bad habits, impure thoughts, whatever they are. Maybe it's our language. Maybe it's the music that we listen to. Maybe it's some bad attitudes or bitterness that we have in our hearts. Purge it out. Get rid of it. In verse 16 and 23, it talks about shunning or avoiding false teachings. And again, we talked about this in Sunday school. The best way to identify false doctrine is to compare it to the Word of God. Stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God, brothers and sisters. Shun and avoid false teachings. In verse 19, it talks about departing from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Turn away from sin. In verse 22, it talks about fleeing or running from youthful lusts. And then to be prepared for the Lord, we must also, these are some things that we must do. In verse 15, study or work hard to live a life that God would approve of. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It takes an effort. In verse 21, it talks about being prepared to the work God calls us to be ready. Meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. To be prepared for the work God calls us to. In verse 22, it talks about following or pursuing righteousness and faith and charity and peace. And at the end of the verse in 22 there, it says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Have a close relationship with the people of God, people who are sincerely living for God. Your friends will influence you, so choose them wisely. Your close friends, are they people who are sincerely living for the people, the word of, or the way of God, and living for the Lord? I'd like to think a little bit about prepared for temptations. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel and his friends were deported from their home country, from their families into a foreign land, it says that in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Daniel had ahead of time, he had decided that no matter what happens, I am not going to defile myself, no matter where I am. And I had to think about that a little bit. You know, if we're going to keep from giving in to temptations, if we're going to make it in the hour of temptation, we must decide ahead of time that we are not going to go against God's standard of holiness. It must be settled in our hearts. Because if we're not fully committed to doing what's right, we're bound to fail in the hour of temptation. And Satan knows when to hit us. The burden I have this morning is that we have personal convictions. We need personal convictions. This is not right. I am not going to do this if we're going to make it in the hour of temptation. In Luke chapter 4, we have the account of Jesus when the devil tempted him there in the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. And he tempted him with food, of course. Satan knows where to hit us. But when he was faced with these temptations, Jesus focused on the Word of God. He countered every temptation with Scripture. I had to think of David's words in Psalm 119:11. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Read God's word daily. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Keep it in your heart. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Jason was reading there this morning in his devotional meditation. I think he read verses 6 and 7. But in verse 8, then, I just noticed it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Be sober, be vigilant, be watching. Be ready. Thinking about a prepared heart. Just a little bit on a thought of being prepared for crisis. Maybe one thought we could carry with us is the fact that we need to be content with what we have. With Jason's devotional meditation, if we have a contented heart with where we are and what we have, I think we'll be better prepared for crisis when there is a loss or an adversity that we face. You know, I think of Job. He lost his possessions. He lost his children. He lost his health. And his wife said, "Do you still retain your integrity? Just curse God and die." And he refused. His friends judged him and said that God was punishing him for his sins. And yet he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." His faith was not wavered through all of this. But God did challenge Job. And I believe Job in the end recognized that in the middle of crisis, God is sovereign and God is just. And God never makes mistakes. Even when we don't maybe understand our circumstances, we can rest in the fact that God does understand. And we can also, again, Jason read this verse in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can rest in that fact. If we have our hearts set, prepared to love God, prepared to serve God and live for God, he will make all things work together for our good. I'd like to think a little bit about preparing our children. I certainly don't feel like I have the answers for this phase of life. I'm still learning and still growing. But it's an important topic, and it's important to think about as parents in preparing our children in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." To train up a child, it takes effort. It takes wisdom from God. It takes love, and it takes patience. And it takes a prepared heart. And you know, even though they may not always appreciate or accept it at the time, what we teach our children will always go with them. I think of things that my parents tried to teach me when I was younger, and I didn't accept it and went the other way. And in the end, I learned the hard way that they were right. Another testimony I'd like to share is a mother who shared her heart about her son. She said, after 40 years of praying for her son, he called her one day and said, "Mom, I gave my heart to the Lord." Her testimony was, don't ever stop praying for your children. Never underestimate the power of prayer. In Proverbs 23:26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We need to try to win the hearts of our children and be an example that they can follow. You know, so many times our own carnal nature can get in the way of this. Parents, never stop trying and growing and preparing your children. In Proverbs 13:24, there's many verses about discipline. It says that he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. In Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And in verse 17, correct thy son, he shall give thee rest, Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. No, discipline is not fun and it's not easy, but it's a vital part of preparing our children. If we love them, we will discipline. Jesus said, when he was busy and his disciples tried to turn them away, the people were coming to bring their children to him. He said, suffer the little children to come to me. And in Matthew 19, he says that he laid his hands on them. And then also in Mark chapter 10, it says he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Do we follow Jesus' example in taking the time to sit and to talk and to listen to the little children? Make the most of the opportunities you have while you have them. I'd like to think a little bit about preparing our youth. There's many directions we can go with a subject like this, but just a few that I thought of as I was meditating on this. Teach them to be responsible. Teach them responsibility. Give them responsibility, a job to do. This is something that they are responsible for. Delegate responsibility to them. We need to teach them to accept the fact that life isn't always fair, and that's okay. We need to teach our children, especially thinking of our youth, to be open and accountable to God. And to all authority in the world, in the home, in the church, in the school, be open and accountable. Teach them to be a good sport and be considerate of others' feelings. We don't have to always be the one that's ahead on top. Consider other people's feelings. We need to teach them to remember that the world does not revolve around me. It's something that all of us need to learn sometimes, including myself. The world doesn't revolve around me and myself and I. We need to teach them to make good use of their time. One thing my dad used to always tell me, it's a saying of his, don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Make the most of your time. But maybe most of all, we need to teach our children, or especially thinking of our youth, to keep God in the center of their life. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Youth is an exciting time of life, a time when you have energy and strength and you're growing. Make your strengths available to God while you can. Because someday, if you are not called home, if God doesn't call you home, and if the Lord tarries, someday, every one of us, really, will grow old. Every one of us will be old someday unless God calls us home and as long as the Lord tarries. So that was my next point. I was thinking about being prepared for old age. I should probably have Willard come up and talk about this point. I don't feel like I consider myself there yet. Some days I feel pretty old, but thinking of the sunset years in life, a testimony that really kind of spoke to me from a man who spent 2 months in a nursing home during a rehab session. And these are some lessons that he learned while he was there, some things that really stood out to him, things that he never thought of before. In relating to the residents there for 2 months in a nursing home. And I want to just put this little disclaimer out right from the beginning. These lessons that he talks about, I believe, are very valuable and some things that we can learn from. But there really wasn't any spiritual reference in his testimony. But I still would like to share it because I believe it's some good points for us to consider in preparing for old age, the sunset years of life. Number one, he said, loneliness is the greatest disease. He said he was relating to people there who had all kinds of different illnesses that they were struggling with. And yes, those physical illnesses are a challenge, but he said loneliness is the worst one. And his challenge is to build and to cherish relationships while you can. Number two, health is more valuable than wealth. And that goes right along with our devotional we heard this morning of being content. He said there's wealthy businessmen who were in there who had all the luxury cars, the big mansion houses, and all kinds of material possessions. And yet their own body would not cooperate. They couldn't walk by themselves. They couldn't even eat by themselves. They needed help with everything. You can't use all your money to buy your health, he said. Wealth will not buy health. Your health is more valuable than wealth. Don't take it for granted. And his challenge was to take care of your body in your youth years, in your younger years. Number three, material things lose their meaning. Very close to the same as number two, but just another angle is material things will lose their meaning. You know what it's like to get maybe a new phone or a new vehicle. New things have their appeal, and they are exciting at first, but they lose their meaning eventually. He said the only things that matter in life in the end are the memories that we made and the people we shared them with. I had to think of Solomon. At the end of his life, he said all is vanity. All his material possessions were vanity. Material things lose their meaning. Number four, independence is precious. Don't take it for granted. You don't realize this, he said, until you don't have it anymore. When you're stuck in a wheelchair, you can't get around by yourself. Independence is precious. Don't take it for granted. Number five, true happiness comes from simple things. Some of the things that he listed was just a good conversation, a warm cup of coffee, the feeling of the sun shining on your face. The simple things bring peace or bring happiness. Number six, forgiveness brings peace. He talked about many of the residents. Some were happy, but there was a lot that were just miserable because they had grudges that they were holding on to from years past. One said, I just wish I could forgive my sister, but she's no longer here, and it's too late. He said, the people who hold on to bitterness are the ones who suffer the most. And that was a challenge to me. Be willing to forgive. Forgiveness brings peace. Number seven, his final point was that every day is a gift. Don't waste it. Make the most of your life. Every stage of life, make the most of the stage that you're in. Don't wish for the next one or wish you were back in the previous one. Just make the most of every stage of life while you're there. Final point I'd like to think about a little bit. Talked about this a little bit at the beginning, and that is to be prepared for the future. Be prepared for the return of the Lord. In Luke chapter 12, I'd like to read those verses. You can turn there with me. Luke chapter 12. And we're going to just read verses 13 to 34. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. One of the crowd of people said to him, Master, this is to Jesus. He said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge over or a divider over you? And he said to the crowd of people, he turns to them and he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he talked to them about this parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up for himself treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he goes on to say, I'm not going to read the rest of these verses, but he goes on to talk about not worrying about material things, but to set our hearts on heavenly things. Setting our affections on things above. Brothers and sisters, our primary concern is not to build a big retirement plan. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm not saying it's not right and good to look out ahead and to prepare for old age in that way. But our primary concern is preparing for a future home in heaven. Not an ease of life on this earth. Are we laying up treasures in heaven? Or are we laying up treasure on earth? Along with that, I want to keep this perspective in mind that we don't know when our time will be up. Are we prepared to meet the Lord? Think of Jalen. 15 years old, and God called him home. We don't know when our time will be up. Also, we don't know when the return of the Lord will be. Are we ready to meet him? In Matthew 24, Jesus' words, verse 44, be ye also ready. In Matthew 25, verse 10, again, Jesus' words, they that were ready went in. Talking about the 10 virgins. The ones that were ready, the five that were ready are the ones that went in to the wedding. In Mark chapter 13, again, Jesus' words, take ye heed, watch and pray. Watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Are we watching? Luke chapter 12, he says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning and wait for their Lord. Are we spiritually awake, brothers and sisters? I had to think of the laws I know it's been for a little while in New York, and more recently, I believe, in Pennsylvania. Different states are putting laws out there that you are not allowed to use a cell phone while you're driving. Why is that? The phone is a distraction. And the reason they're enforcing these laws is because it has caused many an accident and a fatality many times because of this distraction. Spiritually, there are many casualties because of the distractions of this world. My burden this morning is, are we ready for that moment? Just like that, in the blink of an eye. We've been hearing that message for many years, as long as I can remember. Hearing the message that Jesus may return at any moment. In closing, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. This epistle was written towards the end of Paul's life here on this earth. He knew that his journey was about over. And I believe this letter was an urgent message to the church. I'm sorry, this is Peter. I'm on the wrong passage, but that's fine. We'll read Peter's words here in 2 Peter chapter 3. But this is an urgent message that I believe Peter had as a burden for the church. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Things keep going on. We've been hearing this message for many years. And there's people that are questioning it. Is this really going to happen? "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But instead, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today, brothers and sisters, is the day of grace. Today is a day when you can make your heart right with the Lord. Make your things right. God has not held off on this day, this final judgment day, because he's slack in his promises, but rather, he is extending the day of grace so that men can come and repent. Continuing on, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, looking for and hasting unto," or watching and preparing for, "the day, the coming of the day of God." He's asking us, knowing that this is going to happen, what manner of life should we be living? What kind of life should we be living? In holiness, watching and preparing for the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What kind of life should we be living? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom, given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they also do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, seeing that you know this is going to happen, that God is going to return, and the earth is going to be melted, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, seeing that you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. My prayer this morning is that we can say with Paul, this is Paul's epistle now that I was thinking of earlier. Again, this is toward the end of his life. He knew this was coming to the end. And he's telling Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Brothers and sisters, let's prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, to live for him, and prepare for him to work in our lives so that we can be prepared someday to meet him. Let's kneel for prayer.